my own upbringing in my dysfunctional family. And believe me, my family was dysfunctional, okay? And I cut that root down. But anyway, I saw a sign one time. It says, for those people who look for faults in others, you would think somebody would be given rewards. Okay? And it spoke to me because I was raised in a dysfunctional family, and I was always looking for what was wrong with other people. Till God finally woke me up and said, hey, you need to straighten yourself out and then minister to other people. And everybody wants to live the abundant life, the resurrected life, but there can be no resurrection without a death. I listened to a Christian pastor on TV the other day. I'm not against Christians, okay? Let me make this, it's not personal. And he was praying for his safety, for his children. And the thought came to me, well, let's say, just for example's sake, that I had a child like the Messiah. Well, Lord, just produce safety in this Messiah's life. But the Messiah had a death, burial, and resurrection. And it's very interesting that we are so self-protective that we don't want anything bad or harmful to happen to us. And just bad things happen, folks. I'm reminded of, and the Messiah was ministering, and I'll get to the lesson here in a second. And he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? In Matthew 16. And so he said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet from the dead. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the Messiah was concerned about what people were saying about him. In another gospel, I think it's in Mark or Luke, he was ministering, and someone says, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, and they want to talk to you. He said, who are my mother and my brother and my sisters or my family, but those who do the will of my Father? Summary, Messiah was concerned about what people said about him, but he did not let the concerns dictate his life. Okay, coming from a dysfunctional family, believe me, I got people who misunderstand me greatly because I see things especially a Torah observant lifestyle. But since I've had 3 brain surgeries, they just write it off as I'm crazy. And I'm okay with that, okay? They said the same thing as the Messiah. Oh, he's beside himself. He's got a demon. I'm just laughing like, you know, some people don't understand you, you know. So take heart that when you want to have a heart to fully serve the Messiah, and like Joe said, we're all in a process, we're all in a place, we're on a journey. Everybody's at different stages, okay? That's why we can't compare ourselves to ourselves, because you might be in a different place than me, and I might be in a different place than him or her. And the Messiah is the standard, not another person. Okay? So I'm still feeling a little bit under the weather because of the whole allergy thing. I can relate to that, so I'm kind of crazy. So this is part C of lesson 1. And put the first scripture up there, Kyle. And this is a scripture out of Deuteronomy, which Hashem, Yahweh, the Lord, Elohim, I may be politically correct with all this, was speaking as directions to Israel. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Okay? That's what Joe was speaking about a few minutes ago about mixture. Okay? The nations are a mixture of people. That's why in the systems of religion, they celebrate mixed festivals. Christmas, Ishtar, are mixtures of something. When a person has a garden in their yard, they don't put 10 kind of seeds in one row. There are rows with individual seeds in it. It's not mixed. And we are not to mix seeds, which is the word of God. We are to be separate, which he said is kadosh, which is holy, even as he is holy. The nations are in the Hebrew is goy. And you go to the next verse, brother. Now the Lord said to Abram, Genesis chapter 12, go forth from your country and from those your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Hang on a second. Go back to, no, okay, let's see. Go forth from your father's house. What? You mean I got to leave my family behind? See, some people won't understand when God speaks to you and you're following the Lord. But what God knew about Abraham's heart was Abraham had a heart to serve the father and not his earthly father, who was an idolatry. When my mother passed away, and I honored my parents, okay? But I did not honor the evil that he did. Abram was honoring his father, but he was honoring his heavenly father because he wanted to live a pure, holy life, a kadosh. So he had to get out of a situation that was mixed, that was in Babylon, to come to a land that God will show him. And why? The next verse, brother. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. So in that verse, God's told Abram, I'm going to make you a nation, singular. The word in Deuteronomy is nations, plural. The nation that God was speaking to Abram about building is the nation of Israel. Okay? So let's understand who Israel is. Israel is a called out people from God, and people have to understand it's not just that piece of property over there in the Middle East. That is Israel. In Hebrew thinking, there's more than one way to look at things. You can look outside and say, well, I see that courthouse, and then I say, I see them cars. Well, who's right and who's wrong? You get a more complete view of what's going on, the more people you have looking at something. That's why it's so important to have all of us up here teaching what our view of it is, so you can add it to your view and study for yourself to determine what's right and what's wrong. In the Bible, there are native-born Hebrews, which are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're called Hebrews, Israelites, Jews, and we'll get to that in a minute. There's another group of people that are called aliens, strangers, foreigners. And I'll just group these two up into a group called the Gentiles. So you have the native-born people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you got the Gentiles, the foreigners or the strangers. Okay? Gentile means one who does not have a covenant, or one who is outside the house. Okay? And the purpose of Abraham, everybody's heard about the patterns of faith. Abraham was the father of the faith because he set the pattern for all believers to live. We're supposed to imitate him and do what he did. The Jews in the New Testament told the Messiah, we're sons of Abraham. And he told them, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the works that Abraham did. Okay? Let's go to the next verse, brother. This is in the Psalms, and he, being God, declares his words to Jacob, his statutes, and his ordinances to Israel. To Israel, the covenant people of God. Go to the next verse. He has not dealt with thus with any nation, and as for his ordinances, they have not known them. The nations have not known the ordinances of the Lord. Praise the Lord. He deals with Israel. God has made a covenant with Israel. I'm a firm believer there's only one covenant in Scripture. There are many facets to one covenant, like you peel back an onion. We hear about the covenant of Abraham, and the covenant of Noah, and the covenant of David, and the covenant here and the covenant there. They're all like a limp, like an onion you peel back. It's all part of one covenant that was in the beginning that God is trying to bring us back to so that we might walk in it. Go to the next scripture, brother. The stranger, Leviticus, the stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you. There's a native and there's a stranger. And you shall love him as yourself. Seems like I read that somewhere before. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Israelites, Jews, we'll put all that together in the one covenant. We need people that are grafted into the covenant. We need to love each other the same as the Messiah loved us, okay? When I had brain surgery, and I've had three of them, I realized how special and important I was. Then I realized how special and important everybody is. We all have a different purpose, a reason, an existence for our living. And the ground, the mountain, and Calvary is level. Everybody stands the same. We just have different reasons for our existence. My reason for being is not the same as yours. You need to find your place in God by your own study. We give you the tools. We can encourage you. We can pray for you. We can talk to you. We can counsel with you. But ultimately, the decision is up to you what you do with your life. Okay? Let's go to the next verse, brother. As for the assembly, church, congregation, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. So the aliens, the stranger, the foreigners that are grafted into the covenant shall be the same as the native born, and there shall be one instructions for all of us. God doesn't have a Jewish faith and a Christian faith. God has one faith, okay? And that faith is his faith, or his belief system, and we'll get to that in a moment. Go to the next one, brother. This is out of Isaiah. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Israel was in covenant with Hashem, and Israel is to be a light to the nations. Light doesn't make any sound. It just is. And it influences what it's around. So, and I used to, listen, we've all been there, okay? I used to be in people standing in the sinner's way trying to get them, convince them, you know, come do this, come do that, come do this. And God says, no, that's not the way you need to do it. You're making noise. Be still, know that I'm God. And so we need to be a light, but it's a process of becoming. That we need to influence people by our good works. They can say, why do you do these things that you do? That's what's called fishing for men, folks. You have to use the right kind of bait. Not evangelism, like knocking on a door and telling somebody about Jesus. Okay, I'm not down that. I've been there before, done that, got the t-shirt. All right? All right, Kyle. Okay, let's go to Gnosticism, and I'll get to that in a second. Gnosticism is the next... All these topics that I'm bringing to you in this lesson, you could teach a college course on each and every one of them. Okay? You're getting a bunch of topics and parts of lessons that kind of want to pique your interest, so you might kind of get some kind of understanding about what the scriptures are about. Do your own study, okay? Gnosticism was a belief system that was prevalent in Greek in the first century that had an influence on a Christian church, okay? Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. And I want to read you a few verses of scripture. A few details about how Gnosticism impacted the early church. And you see if it reminds you of some things that were taking place when you were in the church. All right. The Gnostics believed that the concept of God was dualistic. That he was Father God and Mother God. Okay. They believed that salvation was having enough knowledge to deliver their soul from the evil body. They believed in an evil God of the Old Testament that produced matter that was evil. That God gave them people laws and instructions to follow, and when they didn't, he got mad at them. They don't believe Yeshua was God manifested in the flesh, because God cannot inhabit an evil body. They thought that the Messiah brought knowledge and became an enlightened one. So they were otherworldly. They thought, I need to get out of this evil body and go to a better place. That's Gnosticism, folks. And in the 3rd and 4th century, that was prevalent in the early church. And the early church left its Jewish, Hebraic, Israeli roots and slowly steeped into what we have today as the Christian church. By the way, the word church, the English word church, comes from the English word circus. And the English word church is a root word from an English word that is the word for circus. Kirking, yeah. Like a circuit rider. And I spent 30 years in church, okay? And a lot of times church is nothing but entertainment. That's why they have to keep having this new thing going on. It's an emotional high. We got to be entertained today. What's happening this week? Not last week. I'm bored with that. Like little spoiled children. God help them. You know, so back to the scripture, So Paul was writing to the Corinthians, which was a Greek city, Corinth. It was a seaport, writing about the Gnosticism. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Go ahead. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. So Paul was dealing with this special esoteric knowledge in the early assembly that these people that were the enlightened one who thought they were better than somebody else. And that's called pride. Okay, and what is the middle letter of pride? Same as the middle letter of sin, folks. Okay? So, let's go to the next scripture, brother. Okay, get to that in a second. Okay, so we need to understand scriptures from a Hebraic perspective. The Bible was not written from an English or Western mindset. It was written from a Hebrew mindset. When a person does not understand the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew words and the Hebrew culture behind the scriptures, they will misunderstand it and mistranslate it. Okay, I've seen preachers make stuff up. Dear God, help them people. You know, and I'll give you, here's an example. In the book of John, the Messiah was saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you ask a person in the system of religion that, they'll say, well, I can't obey all the commandments. To them, keeping is obeying. That's not what it means. It means guard and protect it. But from a Western mindset, he sees it as obeying. And that's an example of how some people in the church mess things up because they don't have a Hebraic mindset. They don't understand things the way they were written from. I had a bachelor's degree in Christian counseling. When I became Torah observant, man, things started opening up to me like I had never seen before. And what a wonderful life it is, to quote Jimmy Stewart. It's a movie by him, right? The Wonderful Life or something. Yeah. I got a dry sense of humor, folks. Y'all bear with me, okay? I'm not feeling well. I'm trying to get along the goal anyway. So the Hebrew, and I think in the future we'll have lessons to teach the Hebrew letters. It's not so important, I think, that we learn how to speak Hebrew, although that is important, because there's few people in our culture to speak Hebrew with. Okay, but once you begin to learn the letters and the alphabet, and we'll get to some of that in a minute, like little children. When little children go to school, you teach them the English by teaching them the ABCs. Learn your letters. Learn how the words are put together and what they mean. And that's the way we need to learn the scriptures. And we'll get into that more often in the future, hopefully. So to understand, go to the next verse, brother. Okay, here's another misunderstanding of scripture. In Exodus, thus the Lord used to speak to Moshe face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. The part I want to emphasize is the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. That's an Hebrew idiom. I've heard people say, well, God had a body because he spoke to Moses face to face. Okay, it means to be intimate with. And we've all used the expression, hey, I'm going to get up in your face. Okay, it means you're angry at somebody. So in Hebrew, there's words, there's context, there's idioms, and we need to understand these things in order to properly interpret Scripture. The Bible is full of Hebrew idioms and Hebraisms. At the back of the lesson, they have 3 or 4 pages of Hebrew idioms that will help you in your studies. Go ahead, brother. Here's another misinterpretation from the systems of religion. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. The Messiah spoke that. Now, some people use that as saying, well, see, he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. To abolish the law means to misinterpret it. The Messiah was saying, I did not come to misinterpret the Torah. I came to fulfill it. I came to put life back into it, because the systems of religion were changing the word of God to control the people. And it was only producing death, and that's what religion does. The word fulfill is found in Genesis 1, where God filled the waters with fish. He put life back into something. And so here you're saying, I didn't come to misinterpret what's been taught. I came to straighten out so you might have life. Okay? All right, brother. Let's go to the next one, bro. All right. A lot of Christians, it seems like I'm Christian bashing, but I'm not, folks. It's been 30 years in churches, okay? But anyway, out of 2 Peter, Peter writes, Kepha, but I know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's interpretation. The context of the Bible is the whole Bible. Okay? People will use isolated verses of Scripture to prove their point. I could give you scriptures from Christian denominations. You probably know who they are. The Acts 2:38 people. The John 3:16 people. They use one verse of Scripture and build a whole system of religion on it and ignore the rest of the Scriptures. That's not the way the Scriptures were meant for God's people to understand. Go to the next one, brother. Okay. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. Okay, the scripture says, let my teaching drop as the rain. This is dealing with doctrine, instruction, or teaching. It comes down like rain. We've heard the Messiah say, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The instructions of God fall on everybody. It depends what we do with what he drops on us that our lives are determined by. Okay, so in the scripture, a lot of times the word of God is analysis to water, cleansed by the washing of water with the word. The instructions of God fall down from heavens like rain that produce seed from the ground that cause trees to grow and fruit to be produced. It's a process. Okay? All right. Go on, Kyle, the next one. Okay. This is Messiah again. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The Lord gave me this scripture when I was talking to a pastor that I was under for 5 years, trying to convince him about the Hebraic foundation of the scripture. And he was a New Testament guy, and I'm not against him. That's where he was, okay? God's got to deal with him. But this is the scripture the Lord gave me, that you don't live by just the New Testament, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The whole thing. And they don't understand that, because they think it's just by grace alone. I ain't got to do anything. I'm saved. Well, salvation has two aspects. You are delivered from spiritual death, which the blood does, and you are delivered from an abundant life here when you obey the Lord as best we can. He rescues us from the choices, our consequences that we make. That's also salvation. So the Torah is given not to deliver us from spiritual death. It's given to us to have instructions on how to live an abundant life here. They're both aspects of salvation. Okay? All right, brother, go ahead. Let me see. Verse 16 first, or is that 17? All right, here we go. Yeah. I mixed up enough, man. Okay, out of Timothy, Shaul was writing, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, doctrine, for reproof and correction, for training in righteousness." Now, what scriptures he talking about? The only scriptures that were written at that time was the Tanakh. He was not making a reference to the New Testament. Okay? For what? For profitable for teaching, which is doctrine, correction, training in righteousness. And the next verse, brother? "So that the man of God or woman may be adequate, equipped for every good work." It is the Tanakh that equips us to do the good works that Messiah has come for us to do. We don't do things on our own, "Well, it feels good, I'll do it," type thing. You know, there are instructions that we need to follow, as Joe was saying a while ago from the Torah reading. And when people don't understand that, they mess things up. Okay, brother, go ahead. "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Okay, that's out of the Psalms. Your law, your Torah, is truth. The word for truth is emet. I'll come over here a second. The word law, translated in English, comes from the word Torah, which means instructions, directions, or teaching. It's a noun. The verbal aspect of it, the root behind the action, is fear. It's yara. It means to throw out, to cast, or to shoot. So God throws things out, casts rain forth upon the earth. Some people define it as shooting arrows, that we might fear him and keep his commandments. Okay? And that's what the law is, truth. But truth is emet. Truth, emet, which is as faithfulness or firmness, which is a noun. In Hebrew thinking, emet, the E is the aleph. If you remove the aleph, okay, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, what you have left over is met or mute, which is death. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees did. They removed the strength from the Messiah, killed him, and what was left over was he died, and so did they. And that's what religion does. Religion wants to take the strength out of God's words so that we will die. It's a matter of control. Go to the next verse, brother. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Israel is to be a light to the nations. His word, his Torah, his instructions, his doctrine. It is a lamp to our feet to tell us how to walk. Walk is a lifestyle. Okay? And it's to light our path. Go ahead, brother. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to discuss the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because God's word is truth. Okay? I'll go ahead and read it. "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us." Boy, I got that t-shirt. "By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Go ahead, Pat. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay? I am to love every, the most important thing in the world to God is people, whether I agree with them or don't agree with them. Okay? The greatest is love. Love to me is if I'm concerned about your well-being no matter what it costs me. That doesn't mean I'm a doorstop and you can walk on me and trample on me. Okay? You have to use a sense of balance in these things. But I'm concerned about somebody else's well-being above my own. But actually, I want to deal with the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth, we've already discussed, it's emet, which means faithfulness or firmness. It's a noun. The word for error is hata, defined as to miss, like miss the mark, to sin, or to be wrong. So when we're talking about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, we are talking about emet or hata, the truth or sin. Because if you shoot an arrow at a target and you miss it, that's what the Bible calls sin. You have missed the mark, and it's error. Okay? And how do we determine what is truth? Through a study of the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I've had things that have happened to my life that have borne witness to me that lined up with God's Word. To me, that rang true. But I verified it through my own studies to verify what I was being led to believe. Don't just believe me because I'm telling you things. Study it for yourself. Okay, verified truth, hold fast to that which is good. The word truth, I'll get back to that in a second, is the word emet. That is the noun. The verb is actually aman. It's defined as belief, or translated as belief. Joe spoke about belief a while ago. Belief means to confirm or to support truth. So when we hear somebody saying something, we say, amen. That's where the word came from. I'm on. I'm on. It's a verbal root for the word for truth. Okay? So don't just confirm everything somebody says. You make sure that it's what you believe. All right. Go ahead, Kyle. Okay. This is out of Judges. Out of all these people, 700 choice men were left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. That word miss is hata. The same word as sin or to go wrong or error. All right, Kyle? But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one and you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. In Hebrew thinking, if I believe something, I am acting upon that belief. It's just not a mental acknowledgement that there is a God. Okay? So when I am acting on that belief system, people see those actions and know that there is a God. It's not just, I acknowledge God exists, and next week go back and kind of talk to him again sometime. It's like the Jews have this saying, the Christians have a part-time God. I can't believe that, okay? Yeah. Okay, Kyle. This is out of Genesis when God was talking to Adam. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat you will surely die. The commandments was given, the instructions were given to the man. Go to the next verse, brother. And this is his wife's reply when Adam didn't do what he was supposed to do. Okay, he didn't fulfill his purpose. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. I've covered that in past lessons. God never told Adam not to touch it. Eve added to the word of God because Adam didn't fulfill his purpose to his wife. And that sets a pattern for all religion, which takes away and adds to the word of God, which causes confusion or to not know fusion. The patterns were set in Genesis. Go ahead, brother. So if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This course is about the foundations of faith. This building is here because the foundation has been laid. We don't see the foundation, okay? But you've got to have a sure foundation. And let's go to the next verse, brother. For no other man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Messiah Yeshua or Jesus Christ. We have to build on a sure foundation, which is the building of God, whose building we are. Okay? The Word of God made flesh. Go ahead, brother. This is a warning of Paul writing to Timothy. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, doctrine, preserving these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you, who shema you. Okay, the word doctrine, the teaching in the Hebrew, modern Hebrew, means light along the way. Okay, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. As we walk through life, the doctrine or the teaching of the rain that has fallen down guides us and instructs us and directs us. But Paul says, give heed to it. Pay close attention to this, because you can be easily deceived. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, Kyle. Let's talk about this for a while. Out of Psalms. Behold, hine, look at this. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Okay? Like Joe said a while ago, unity does not mean uniformity. Spoiler alert, we're not all going to be alike, folks. We all have different DNA. Okay? I come from a dysfunctional family, and I don't agree with them a lot of the times, but they are still my family. You get the implication? We are all here. We're serving the same God. We're doing the best we can. We don't agree all the time, but we're family. I heard a song the other day, and I'll quote the lyrics if I can remember it. The man said this, I am doing the best I can to be who I am, but all the people I know want me to be like them. That's by a song by a guy named Robert Zimmerman. He's known as Bob Dylan. He's a Jew. Okay? The context of it was, he had a song about Maggie's form, about everybody doing something and all being alike, cookie cutter Christians. Okay? God didn't make us all alike for a purpose. And it's our differences that unite us. Amen. Amen. Okay, Kyle, go on to the next one, brother. Now, this is Paul writing. I exhort you, brethren, by the name, the authority, the character of our Lord Messiah Yeshua, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. So this is almost seems contradictory. Okay, we have to have unity, we have to agree, but we can't all be alike. Okay, it's a process, folks. And the Christian church has 39,000 different denominations. And if you ask any one of them, they'll all tell you they're the right ones. That's not the one faith, okay? We need to have unity in the essentials. The Torah observant lifestyle, the prophets, the Brit Hadashah, what makes us a community. And Paul was warning the early church, you know, hey, you need to all agree on these things. And let there be no denominations among you, no divisions among you. The reason there's so much money out there is because they're called denominations. Okay? Okay, Kyle, let's go to the next one, brother. Again, out of Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. In the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, when Solomon was king, the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah were divided. You had 10 tribes to the north, 2 tribes to the south. They all went into captivity in Babylon. Okay? The people that went back to the land were the southern tribe, was Judah and Benjamin, known as the Jews. They went back to rebuild the temple. They went back to keep the scriptures. They went back to follow the law. They went back to obey God. The rest were scattered throughout the nations. That's what's known as the 10 lost tribes. Messiah came to unite the two houses. Okay? So in Messiah, if you belong to him, you are Abraham's seed. Abraham was the pattern for the faithful. Okay? The Jew, and we owe the Jews a lot, are from the tribe of Judah. But they're one tribe of 12. Okay? The covenant was not made with Judah. It was made with Israel. Okay, let's go to the next verse, brother. Paul writing again. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. This is kind of crazy talk. When the Jews went back, they had the seal of the covenant of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, which was circumcision. the Israelites were scattered among the nations were not circumcised. What Shaul is saying here, if you are a native-born Hebrew, a native-born Jew, and you come to Messiah, don't seek to become a non-Jew. If you're a non-Jew and you're grafted in, according to Romans chapter 11, don't seek to become Jew. These things I'm wearing are not Jewish. They're godly. But it was the Jews is where salvation came from and the scriptures came from. That's why we follow the Jewish so well, so close. But I'm not going to try to become a Jew, and Avi shouldn't be trying to become a Gentile. We're trying to follow the Lamb, follow the Lord. All right? So let's go to the next one, Kyle. For the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, this is out of Ezekiel, and you, son of man, take for yourself one stick, which is a tree, and write on it for Yehuda and for the sons of Israel, his companions, and then take another stick and write on it for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them for yourself one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And that is what Messiah did. He joined the two sticks into one and made one new man. Okay? He joined Judah and he joined Israel together through a tree. The word stick is etz. It's the tree that he hung on, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He took the penalty for our sin, our death, and gave us new life and made one new creature in Messiah Yeshua. And that's who Israel is, folks. Okay? Go ahead to the next one, Kyle. But he answered and said, this is Messiah, but he answered and said to the religious people, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Israelites were scattered out. They were misplaced. They were out, God only knows where. They were scattered out among the Gentiles. A mixture of people. Can we say that right? And God's calling people out of a mixture, which is Babylon, which is Babylonian thinking, which the systems of religion, the church, is involved in mixture. God's calling them out. That's why you see people leaving the churches today, because people are hungry for truth. They're not hungry for just a bunch of entertainment. Man, they go to Las Vegas and see that kind of stuff, you know? But he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that are us, whosoever will. The next verse, brother. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant. That word new is hadash. I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's the same word for moon. Kodesh, I'm sorry, yeah. Cajun accent, you know, hodesh. It's the same word in Hebrew for the moon or for a month. In John chapter 3, when Messiah was ministering to Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, it was the festival of the new moon. He was talking to him about a new birth. The new moon signifies a new birth. It's not new like never been there before. It's a different stage. So the New Testament is just a continuation of the Old Testament. It's nothing brand new about it. It's trying to get it all back into the covenant with Israel. And that's what the new birth is all about. There's no gospel of born again. Born again is only mentioned twice. We're not to go out and make converts. Okay? We're out to make disciples. The Messiah said, go and make disciples, Talmudim, learners of me. Don't go knocking on doors trying to get people saved. You can try if you want, but it's kind of fruitless at times. So let's go to the next one, brother. The reason I'm kind of, I could put a whole lot more scriptures on here, folks, but I wanted to kind of put as little as I could for the time's sake. So you can go back and read this in context. There's other scriptures before it. It's out of the book of Acts, and that he may send Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. The word Torah is embedded in the word restoration. Okay, it's even in the English. That the Father would send the Son to restore all things, to go back to the beginning the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Okay? That's my buzzer. And that's what's happening today. In the 20th century, we had movements of God, the Pentecostal movement, the healing evangelists, the charismatic movement, the faith movement, the prosperity movement, And I'm really sensing that right now we're having the last great push of Messiah or of God in his assembly. It's called the Hebrew Roots Movement. That God is bringing people back to our roots, that we might understand what he's trying to say to us in this time. Amen. So go to the next one, brother. Out of Zechariah. For I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name, the authority, the character, to serve him shoulder to shoulder. In that verse, every 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet is in one verse. It's the only verse in the scripture where that's in there. And he says, I'm going to return to the peoples a pure language. Not necessarily that we can speak Hebrew, but that we can understand it from a Hebraic perspective. Okay, folks? One more verse of scripture, and then we'll close. I'm sorry, I got a picture, an image, right? Yeah, I'm very much big on images. When the Messiah was there on the earth, and the subject of concern or worry or stress came up, he didn't give the people a 10-point sermon on how not to worry. He says, look at the birds. They look worried to you? God is big on images. Okay? This is out of Isaiah 44:6. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. In Paleo Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, the ox is the first letter, the Aleph. It represents strength or God or leader. The last letter is the Tav. The symbol for that is a covenant, a mark, or a sign. I am the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tav. In Genesis, Aleph and the Tav is in Genesis 1:1. It's in the Old Testament over 1,900 times, but it's not translated because translators don't understand what the ET is. It's not extraterrestrial, but that's, I'm talking Hebrew, okay? In the New Testament, John writes, in the beginning was the Word. He was making a reference to what Jews already understood. In the book of Revelation, I'm the first and the last. I was dead, I'm alive forevermore. So this right here is a Messiah saying, I am the first, I am the last, and folks, he's everything in between. Okay? But if you look at the cross, is the same Hebrew letter for Tav. Messiah did not have a loincloth when he was hanging on the cross. He was there naked. Okay? If you take the Hebrew letter Vav, which is a nail, and you insert it, what you get is the Aleph, Tav, Vav, cross. It's the Hebrew word for oat, the Hebrew word for a sign. He said one sign is going to be given, and they were looking at the sign. Okay, folks? So I encourage you to study, to show yourself approved, and